guys. It's Nikki.
I'm Heather.
And I'm Stacey.
And we're your host of Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes. How we doing, ladies?
Ooh, I'm excited about this one.
I know. We have a big show for you guys today. Super exciting. So we do have a lot to cover, and I want to make sure that we get everything we need to in. So let's jump right into our disclaimer, and we'll let Heather take that one away.
All right. We are not experts nor detectives. All information provided in today's episode is public knowledge and personal opinions. They are and no reflection of Loco Network or any affiliated sponsor. We talk murder and have foul mouths, so listener discretion is highly advised.
You almost got away with it.
I know, almost.
It was real close.
It was very close.
I will learn it one of these days.
One of these times she's going to get it.
I need to start practicing at home.
It's fun, though. It's like you just wait for the anticipation of, like, it's coming. Okay.
What did I mess up on this time?
They are. I think you mixed your words.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
okay.
I said they're, whatever. Okay. They're just going to be my thing every day.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
So today we're going to do our very first missing persons case.
Yay!
I know.
Yay, but yay.
No, it is yay because it's getting the story out.
Yeah, this is what we've been wanting to ultimately bring this, you know, to surface about
right.
is, you know, the people whose voices go unheard, even just over time they dwindle off.
Well, yeah.
And they deserve to not right. dwindle off.
And this one is a heart-wrenching one. Y'all.
Oh, man.
It is.
Tugged them heartstrings.
Oh, no. I teared up a couple times during this one, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, this case has been pretty widely talked about here in the St. Louis area over the years. Here we are coming up on the 16th anniversary, and we are still saying her name on multiple platforms, hoping to find answers for a family whose lives were literally changed forever. We were lucky enough to be contacted by a woman named Samantha Hicks.
Go Samantha.
Right?
Woo!
Real MVP. She is a local in the area, and she she has watched not only a family but also a town mourn for entirely too long with absolutely no answers. We also had the honor of speaking with her mother, Bertha, and her sister, Carrie, to be sure that the information we provide today in today's episode is portrayed as accurately as we can. Like I said, this story's been covered so much. There's so many resources out there that we based our information off of, but it was very important to us that we tried to get in contact with this family and just go over the information we had to make sure we were going to do the story justice.
Right.
Absolutely.
We definitely appreciate both of them taking their time to speak out with us, to answer all the questions that we had for them. And we just continue to pray for justice for their family.
Absolutely. Two of the strongest people we've talked to in a long time.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. And it really meant a lot to just hear their story come from them other than, you know, seeing it over and over on...
It brings a different level of realness to it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This one was like... This is, what, our seventh episode now?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I've done as much research on the other six episodes combined as much as I have on this one.
Right. Yeah.
But that should tell you something right there. There's that much research out there. How do we still
podcast
not have answers?
Podcast after podcast,
right.
article after article.
How do we not have
16
answers?
Years later.
Right.
And we still
right.
have no answers for
None.
This family.
And I mean, it's not for not trying. They have
oh,
had
no.
information out there. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, this is a hard one, y'all.
So let's go ahead and jump right in. We are going to discuss Amanda K. Jones, born October 6th, 1978, in St. Louis, Missouri, to parents Hugh and Bertha Probst. We are, like I said, we're coming up on 16 years now, so all the details of this particular, what we're about to say next, obviously are going to be different, because like I said, we're coming up on 16 years. But I want to start by first going over the details that was released at the time of her disappearance.
Good place to start, yeah.
Yeah, just, you know, I want to put that out there, like, you know, obviously what she was wearing 16 years ago, but, you know, you never know. A piece of clothing could be found somewhere or...
Right.
You know, so this information
anything.
Is still still super important. Yeah. So Amanda K. Jones, 26-year-old white female, brown hair with blonde highlights, weighing between 215 to 225 pounds. She wears glasses, but she was wearing contacts at the time of her disappearance. She has a tattoo of a dolphin on her left breast. She was last seen in a pink sleeveless tank top with a pink and white flowered skirt and pink sandals. She was also 8.5 months pregnant.
I mean, that's 8.5 months. You're there.
Yeah. That was heart-wrenching because now we're talking two people.
Two.
Not one, but two.
Right.
So 26 at the time she went missing, Amanda was known to friends and family to be very vibrant and outgoing. Speaking with her mother, she says that her laughter and her smile were literally just contagious. She was very active in a bowling league, and she attended church regularly at Calvary Assembly of God in Festus, Missouri. She was well known and liked by most everyone for her just fun-loving energy. You know, her mom just boasted so much about, you know, about who her daughter was, and it really portrayed.
You could see it in the pictures. You could just see the smile, you know, that she had. You could tell she was full of life.
Yeah, absolutely. And her mother even said that, that her and Amanda were like best friends. That even with her being the middle child, she truly was the backbone of the family. And, you know, like I said, it was, I had mentioned to her that I feel like they have truly done Amanda justice by the way that they speak about her, because even just researching this case, her energy radiated just from what the family had to say.
Right. Absolutely.
And I definitely commended her mother and her sister on how they have just kept her name alive. but her mother states that there wasn't a day that went by that she didn't see Amanda, and that they, if they didn't see each other, they talked multiple times on the phone.
It sounds like the whole family was kind of that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, you know.
They were a very close family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she made sure to even say, too, you know, even though she was the middle child, they were all, you know, she always kept the girls in line, and she always knew the right thing to say.
Peacemaker, you know.
Yeah, yeah, she always knew the right thing to say. Amanda, in 1999, she had married a man named Scott Jones. They gave birth to a daughter who they named Hannah. And it is said that Amanda and Scott separated in 2000, later divorced in 2003. So although they were married a short period of time, their relationship everywhere you see has been said to be very civil. They were in good standing relationships for their daughter.
Good job, Scott and Amanda.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, they were together a short period of time, but you don't hear anything about, that there was any problems between them.
And, I mean, even with his family.
Yeah.
It seemed like, you know, hell, I can't say that for myself.
Yeah, so kudos to them. Scott has since passed away. He passed away in 2007. So, you know, now here we leave Hannah.
I was going to say that poor girl.
And she has lost her mother, her father,
and her brother.
A brother.
Ugh. And this is that's a young girl.
She was four.
Yeah, to be going through all of that.
She was four at the time.
When her mom and
brother.
Mm-hmm. So Hannah was known to be Amanda's entire world. She was a great mother, and her mother states that Amanda didn't go anywhere unless Hannah was with her. Like, literally, unless it was to work or bowling, in which case she, like, even then she was checking in on Hannah. You know, Hannah was her world, so it was very, very disheartening.
Right. There was an interview that they did with Hannah, and Hannah said that Amanda called her her princess, and Hannah called Amanda her angel.
Aww.
And y'all...
That did it, huh?
That did it for me last night. I mean, like, I had seen it, but, I mean, watching that little girl say that, I mean, that
it hits differently.
It broke me.
It absolutely does.
I had read
the
article, I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And it broke me.
It absolutely hits different. Amanda had a job as a loan administrator at Eagle Bank in Festus, Missouri. We actually just covered a couple cases in Festus. So we're still talking again down 55 about 35 minutes, 35, 40 minutes.
Yeah, it's in Jefferson County. So Jefferson County is the first county to the south of St. Louis County.
Okay.
And you know, Jefferson's county's got about 250,000 people in, you know.
So, I mean, still not necessarily huge.
It's not huge, but it's a very rural country feel.
Okay.
I mean, you know, with it being still so close to the county, it's still a very rural country feel. Everyone knows everyone. Everyone knows everyone's business.
Okay, okay.
And it's probably grown a lot since.
I know. I looked it up, and it's got about 225 to 250,000 people. I looked it up on my computer.
Yeah.
Man. So Amanda had, circle back a little bit, she had a job as a loan administrator at Eagle Bank in Festus, Missouri. Sorry, I kind of went off track.
Right. So, but that's, good job, you know, so she had no problem with raising her daughter. And I mean, she's out there doing her thing.
Yeah, she had her own house.
Yeah.
She was definitely good. On the path right. of what, you know, what everyone would hope to be. But now this is where she meets a man named Brian Westfall. We're going 2004. She meets a man, Brian Westfall, at a work Christmas party, that actually took place at the Hillsboro Civic Center. Brian was the son of a local farming family, very well known in the area as far as the Westfall name goes. He was currently working as a bartender at the Civic Center the night of the Christmas party.
So that's how they met, not through work. It was through
work Christmas party, yeah. But he was the bartender at where they were having it. Clearly,
which
they
was
caught
like a handyman. I mean, he pretty much did.
I believe he was a teacher as well.
Right. I mean, but like working at the Hillsboro Civic Center, he did like
a
whole
lot. Yeah, he was a volunteer.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he did a lot of volunteer and, work there. Yeah.
I mean, that's where they have the county
fair. Jefferson County Fair
is there every year.
Yeah.
So it's a big area.
When I was talking to her sister, she said something about the fairgrounds, and I was like, wait a second. Are we talking about the same place? She's like, oh, yeah. I was like,
it's a Civic Center fairgrounds. Yeah. There's a horse like, track. And
yeah, throw me off guard there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes. So clearly, I know I am. Clearly, they caught the eye of one another, hit it off, and they proceeded. I mean, they basically had a one-night stand, which... Amanda's a grown-ass woman.
Absolutely.
So, you know.
She's not with anyone.
It happened.
Like, she's at a Christmas party. Like,
shit happens. Clearly, there was something that sparked there, you know.
Right. Yep.
And when I spoke with her mother, she had stated that was one of the things that, you know, she just kind of wished over all the years. You know, people are cruel, and they've said a lot of harsh things. They've said a lot of mean things.
It was a one-night stand. Everyone has those.
Yes, like it happens.
Yeah.
Like, that's legit what it was. She wishes people would stop elaborating on it.
Yeah.
You know, Amanda, they weren't having an affair. No. People have said, they were having an affair. No, they weren't. They literally had met, they hooked up, and here we are. And Amanda owned that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, she was a bit embarrassed, you know, but yeah, it is what it is. We're all human. She did what she did. Grow up.
Exactly. People, it's right? not, I mean, she's a grown woman. She's able to sleep with
really
who she wants.
That really bothered me because, you know, this family has to hear, you know, she's a whore and all, like,
no. If she was, who the fuck cares?
Yeah, but I mean,
it's none of their business. It wasn't an affair.
Her own.
Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't an affair. It wasn't anything like that.
Yeah.
But
she's a grown adult. She gets to make that decision
She was willing. They had some fun.
Right. But this, however, is where the story unravels. Amanda had become pregnant. And while she knew it was from the outcome of a one-night stand with a man that she barely knew, it didn't change the way she felt about the baby. Her mother states that she reached out to Brian, her and Hannah, went to go meet with him, and she let him know that she was pregnant. Brian originally denied the baby and then expressed how it wasn't his, wanted nothing to do with it, even offered to pay for an abortion.
So if it ain't yours, why are you paying for an abortion?
But, you know, her mother even said, like, when he's saying this, She had Hannah. Child. She had Hannah with her.
Yeah.
So he's literally saying this in front of her, and she, you know, her mother was like, Hannah knew what was happening. Hannah made the comment. What was it that she said?
You're not going to hurt my baby.
Yeah.
Aww.
Like,
at four.
At four. She knew what this man was saying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Amanda, of course, scared and realizing she was going to be raising this baby on her own, it didn't alter her decision. She was going to raise this baby with or without him. And as time went on, she became more and more excited.
Well, yeah, because now she's got a girl. She's going to have a little boy. She has her own house.
Yep.
She's preparing her house for it.
And even if it meant being a single mother, she knew she was good at it. She knew she could do it. She knew that she had a love for her kids that nobody could break. She soon found out she was having a boy, which, spoiler, we have said that.
Oh, yeah, we did.
But she did. She found out she was having a boy. She was super excited. She has a daughter, so now she gets her boy.
Yep.
What everybody hopes for is one of each. She began setting up the nursery, even deciding to name the baby Hayden Lucas.
I love Hayden.
Yes, I do. Hannah was super excited too, though. She was excited about getting a baby brother.
Especially that age, a baby. You know, they carry around baby dolls.
Baby dolls. Yes. Exactly. She's a girl.
She's like a real live baby doll.
Absolutely.
Yep. So I can only. I mean, she would have been a huge help to her mom. Oh, you know. Yeah. I mean, that's just they would have been on this journey together.
Yep.
And with her due date fast approaching,
that about made me cry.
With her due date fast approaching, Amanda and Bertha had even went to a local hospital to check out the maternity ward. So
normal thing ready. To do. Yeah, normal thing
she's
to
ready.
Do.
She's yep. excited. According to her mother, on August 9th, Amanda decided to reach out to Brian one last time to inform him that she was having a boy. Even discussed possibly giving the baby his last name, asking again if he wanted any kind of involvement in the baby's life. Just, you know, basically reaching out again,
like,
saying,
hey, I'm having your child.
And it said, like, they did not communicate through her entire pregnancy.
Right.
And towards the end, she was like, look, you know, I'm going to reach out one more time and
give him a chance.
Give him a chance.
Well, and I even think it's almost,
better than me.
It's respectful to be like, you know, I want to give your last name. You are the father, you know, type thing. She could just be like, he doesn't want anything to do. I'm naming her the same as Hannah.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and even still, you know, if he was like, oh, that's not my baby or whatever. Okay, well, we could discuss giving the baby your last name if it is. And when the baby is born, we can do a DNA test.
Right.
If this baby is yours, I'm giving it your last name.
Right.
If not, then bygones be bygones.
Right.
Good riddance.
I mean, it's not like you couldn't afford one.
Yeah. Let's not go on that tangent because that could be a whole different conversation. So this conversation ended with Brian still being upset, still having no interest in the baby. And Amanda just, it was what it was. She went on about her life. But about a week later, Brian had reached back out. And
it was that Sunday morning, August 14th, that
was
he
it?
Reached out before she went to church.
Okay. So he had reached back out to her, asked to meet up at the Hillsboro Civic Center, which is where they originally had met. And he asked her to go to lunch at a restaurant called Off the Hook to discuss custody of the child. Amanda agreed. She agreed to schedule the meeting with Brian Sunday after church, August 14th, 2005. And before leaving church, Amanda told her daughter, Hannah, that she would see her in a few hours. Hannah went with Bertha and Hugh. Amanda went to go meet with Brian.
And her daddy had said, you know, that she had called him and was like, Daddy, you never guess who called me. And he's like, oh, who? And she's like, you know, Brian, you know. He said that she was so happy. And when she got to church, she was just shining.
That everyone's like, they were glowing.
She was just glowing. And I really think that she thought he was going to be involved.
Yeah.
That she was so happy.
Yep. Well, she had hopes.
Even the
for
pastor
it.
Or preacher, yes. whatever, you know, whatever it is in their religion, said, you know, told her, you know,
you
I've
are
never,
glowing.
Right,
yeah.
I've never seen you glow this much. Yep.
And that's one thing, you know, even if, like, even if you're not together, you still want them involved.
Right.
It's like,
right. It's their child.
It's their child. So, you know, it's not a matter of, oh, I'm excited because he wants to meet me. Like, I'm excited because my child deserves this.
Right. He wants to be, right. He wants to be involved in
exactly.
the child's life.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, about the church thing, the outfit that you already alluded to, you're right. It's a very specific outfit. You would not miss it.
No.
Bright pink leather purse, white and pink skirt.
It's white skirt with pink flowers.
Yeah.
And then
pink
bright
top,
pink. Yep. And then pink flip-flops.
Yep. So, I mean, you're not talking this is... She's going to stand out. She's 8.5 months pregnant, and she is decked out in pink.
And her daddy says she waddled.
Right. They did say she waddled good.
So back on. Go ahead.
Yes.
Sorry.
So as the hours passed, there was no words. Nobody had heard from Amanda, and her family began to worry. Like you said, you know, it was very unusual for her not to reach out, to even check on Hannah, even be in a couple hours if she was running late to say, hey, guys, you know, we're running late.
Like, right. When she told Hannah a couple hours, it was tough.
Yeah.
Hours.
It was very odd that she did not say anything.
Right.
So naturally, at this point, the family began to worry.
Yeah, I had read somewhere that it said, like, at 3:15, they think, oh, good, the meeting's going good. Maybe they're actually working some stuff out.
Right.
By 3:30, they're going, okay, wait.
She hasn't called us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hours. Right.
Yeah, exactly. So the family tried both calling her cell phone, her home phone, both of them immediately going to voicemail. They reached out to friends asking if anyone had heard from Amanda. Her sister Carrie even drove by her house to see if possibly Amanda was there. Maybe they went there to talk, and she just wasn't answering her phone. Amanda's ex-sister-in-law, Rhonda, had spoken with Amanda at 1:15. But here she states that Amanda seemed very irritated, very agitated and upset about something, and she stated that she couldn't talk right now and she would call her back.
And kept on saying something about the number 8.
Oh.
Everything was, you know, it was a Mary Kay party she was having, and she wanted to know what makeup Amanda wanted. And she kept on saying, I don't know, it has something to do with number 8. Has something to do with number 8. Has something to do with number 8.
So was that makeup related or something?
She said, if I remember right, what her sister-in-law had said in the interview is that none of the makeup numbers had any 8 or didn't have the number 8. Something along, like, she was confused on that.
On
you know,
why she
kept
okay.
on pushing the number 8.
That's very interesting. So, unable to locate or reach Amanda, her mother, bless her heart, grabbed a phone book and began looking up every Westfall.
Right.
Every Westfall she could find.
That's one determined mom.
And no
she,
kidding.
Girl, she was calling.
She's like, that's my baby. Where's
yes.
she at?
And, you know, because she stated she had never met Brian.
None of them had.
They,
oh, wow.
Like, they were not involved.
Right.
Good thing, you know, she told them the last name.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, she had communicated with them, obviously,
right.
the truth about what it was, but they weren't involved, so they never met the man. He didn't want anything to do with the baby, so it's not like he came to family gatherings
right.
or doctor's appointments. But eventually, she reached the right one.
That's determination of a mama.
Girl, she was calling. She was able to get the right one on the phone, and he confirmed that he did, in fact, meet with Amanda. He tells her that they went to lunch to discuss some things about the baby, and that he dropped Amanda back off at her car around 2 p.m. So now this is the story he tells her
That's
mother.
The first story.
Okay. So time continues to pass, and there's still no communication from Amanda.
Well,
nobody has heard from her.
You're talking 1:15 from the phone call to 2. You went to lunch, and you've already dropped her back off? That's a quick 45-minute lunch.
Yeah. So
I don't know what we're... I mean, I never ate that fast.
I'm like, that's a fast lunch.
Yeah.
Drive.
Well, and especially when you got shit to talk about.
Right.
I mean, off the hook was... I don't think off the hook was in Hillsborough. If I remember right, it was in Festus. So, you know, that's a minute drive. You know, not a minute. That's a, you know, that's a hot minute.
Yeah. So
you ain't gonna go eat and all that and be back by 2.
Right. So naturally they're like, okay, well, it's 2:00, you know. Well, we're talking 3:30, 4:00 now at this point. So now we're talking 2 hours after you're saying she left you. So where the hell is she at? So more time continues to pass. Amanda's father now calls And
okay, mama tried, daddy stepping in.
Yes, yes. And I have a good feeling. He was okay.
He told him. Something happened to my baby.
I'm going to hold you accountable.
Yes. I believe he said
that. And I think this man going to go with this to the day he dies.
Yep. Yes. And he demanded. He demanded to know where Brian was. Or I'm sorry, Amanda. He demanded for Brian to tell him where Amanda was. Brian hung up on him. But he called back.
Stomping his ass.
But he called back. So he goes on to admit to Hugh that he and Amanda, in fact, didn't go to lunch. That they began talking. Amanda got upset. They decided they were not hungry anymore. I did the air quotes again for everybody. And that she went inside to use the restroom. He left at 2 p.m. where he went back to finish doing his work at the Civic Center. So now he's told the mom they went to lunch. Now he's told the dad, no, I'm just, we didn't go. Okay. So here we go. There's more. Mm-hmm. But this is where it gets me. Like I said, to every other person who has covered this story, he goes on to say that when he left the Civic Center at 5 p.m., he saw Amanda sitting in her car on the phone. Hmm. So at 2 p.m., you're saying, is when you left her.
Right.
Now you're leaving work at 5 p.m., and she's outside sitting in her car on the phone. Anybody else want to take it from here?
Yeah, she was 8 months pregnant, and it was August 14th.
Right.
No air conditioning.
There's no
250 pounds or whatever she was. There ain't no damn way.
2 hours.
She had been sitting there from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
On her fucking phone.
I don't buy her.
With no heat.
No air.
I mean, no air. Sorry, you know, I got that backwards.
No air.
No
eight
air.
8 months pregnant.
In St. Louis on August 14th. In a car. I couldn't even do that shit, not pregnant and skinny.
I'm telling you. I almost had a meltdown watching somebody walk in a hoodie the other day.
Right. He's a damn liar.
Yeah. So, obviously.
And, okay. Okay.
Immediately screams fishy.
Let's go here. Exactly. Not does it just scream fishy. Let's go here. You know she's pregnant. Regardless, you think she's the mom, whatever. You're telling me you're okay with an 8.5-month-old pregnant woman sitting out there for 3 hours?
He ain't no man.
So, naturally, they find this very odd. Her parents call a local friend who lived not far from the Civic Center, and they asked him to drive by and see if Amanda was still there. Upon arrival, the family friend did, in fact, find Amanda's blue 1997 Pontiac Sunflower unlocked.
Sunfire, not sunflower.
Did I say sunflower? Well, you know,
okay. I want a blue sunflower.
1997 blue Pontiac Sunfire. Unlocked, abandoned, purse, keys, wallet, and cell phone, all missing.
Some say that the door was, like, cracked open also.
Oh, really? Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know if that was true or not. You know, only that man knows that.
Right. The only things left in the car were a soda, a can of hairspray, and police later discovered that Amanda did, in fact, stop at Walgreens before going to meet Brian. And she was seen on camera at 12:27 between 12:27 and 12:35 coming and going from Walgreens. So she literally stopped right before she went and met.
So we have timeline.
Right.
Showing at 12:35 she was still. Right.
Yes. So the family called. Obviously they filed a missing persons report. And like most freaking missing person cases, they got a little bit of kickback.
Oh, hell yeah. The cop said to the mom, oh, she just walked off.
They say it to all, and that's
the
thing.
8.5 months pregnant just walks off.
That's the thing that pisses me off the most is because.
Because they don't care.
They're always like, oh, you got to wait 48 hours. Okay, no, look, I'm telling you, I understand.
She's a grown woman.
I understand people do that. But I'm coming to you and I'm telling you, my child.
Right.
Well, and she's pregnant. I mean, that should be a flag for the cop. Like,
she's pregnant. She got a baby at home.
Yeah.
She has a car. Why would she walk away 8.5 months pregnant? Waddling.
Waddling. Yeah.
I know how it was at 8 months pregnant.
Yes.
I waddled. There was no way I would have walked off. If I had the option of walking off
and
or taking the car.
And it's hot as shit out.
I was taking the car. And it was hot.
But her mother goes on to say that she feels that part of what hindered this case was that it wasn't taken serious in the beginning. It when the time was most crucial, they didn't take her serious.
What did they say, like 24, 48 hours?
48 hours
is the most important
time. And they're
going to
say, oh, I think there was foul play. You think? You should have said that shit 2 days ago.
That's another thing that fucking bothers me. We have a show called The First 48. Right. They say how important the first 48 hours, but when I come to tell you my child is missing, you're going to tell me I have to wait 48
it's
hours?
Wait 48 County. Hours, yeah. But no, it's not just
Jefferson. I know it's not Jefferson County, but Jefferson County, I'm going to be good. Just shut your mouth.
So again, her mom feels like that kind of hindered where, you know,
right. The
crucial time of this, they did not take this case serious. And the family expressed she was damn near 9 months pregnant. She has a daughter at home. She would have never left on her own. She also suffered from Graves' disease, mm-hmm. which is also a autoimmune system disorder. So she was on medication.
Right. Daily medication.
Right.
That kept her alive pretty much.
Yeah. So.
But she just fucking walked away.
Right. Yeah, man. Also, though, her phone records show that after the phone call with her sister-in-law at 1:15, there was no activity.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So there,
except for the phone calls of them calling her and her not answering.
So the whole she was still in her car at 5 o'clock on the phone. Bullshit.
Yeah.
Right.
At 1:15, that is the last phone call
and that
was taken on her phone.
So it's not like it was some ditwit, you know, phone company, you know, pay as you go back in the day. You know, it was Verizon. So you know, so like they couldn't have traced it.
So yet again, another red flag. This man has now told two lies. And has said she was on the phone.
Yep.
No bullshit. No, she wasn't. So obviously, police finally start searching the surrounding area. Eventually, over time, the FBI gets involved. Of course, they want to talk to Brian Westfall. But before they could do that, Brian immediately lawyered up
that night.
He lured up that night.
Okay. So I'm all about the luring up. I don't have a problem with someone who wants to lawyer up. But
that makes you so look guilty.
But you can still talk. Just because you have a lawyer doesn't mean
a statement, but that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. He wrote a statement, bow, done. No more talk.
Yeah. Now, see, that's what makes you look guilty. Right. Not that you just got an attorney. You can have an attorney and talk.
Shit. That makes
Here's where it gets even trickier, though. Not only did he lawyer up, he had a girlfriend.
Who lawyered up. The next morning.
Yeah, no. Now you look guilty.
They both look guilty.
Yeah.
So not only does, I think it speaks for itself. Yeah, and it said that Brian and this woman, Stephanie, had been together in the past, got back together, Whether she knew about Amanda, the truth will never. They'll know
the
truth.
She says she didn't.
Yeah, she says she didn't.
Until
but
that day.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. But they are still together.
Oh, so. They're still together to this day.
I heard rumor that they got married. I don't know. I was up until 2:30 this morning doing research. I didn't care to research her. I just wanted to research him because he's a lion sack of potato bags.
You cleaned that up very well.
I'm very proud of you.
Very
well,
proud.
You know, her mom and daddy's gonna be listening to this, so I'm, you know, I'm trying to be good.
So
I really want to say stuff.
I know you do. trust me, she got it out in the car, guys.
Yes.
I got an earful. But Brian,
I still gotta say my theory though.
Okay. Brian had told. So now, obviously, the police are talking to Brian. He tells them that Amanda sat in his car. So now we got the two stories he told her parents.
Right.
Now he's telling police that they sat in his car for about an hour talking, in which she then got into her own car and drove off. So upon leaving the Civic Center hours later, he again states he saw Amanda in her car on the phone.
So how did she drive off?
If she drove off, why the hell would she come back? Why wouldn't she go home? Why wouldn't she go to her mommy and daddy's house? Mom and dad's house, whatever. Sorry, I call my mom and dad. Yeah. Still home for 9 years old. You know, yes. Why didn't she just go to her mom and dad's house and get her baby? You know, Why would she come back and sit in that parking lot?
But he's told them a whole nother story.
The third story. Yeah.
The third story that he has told.
Liar.
Right. Now, mind you, this statement is lawyer guided.
Right.
The first two, he didn't have that.
Okay.
So now this one is specifically lawyer guided.
And this is what he's sticking with.
Yeah.
Because the lawyer and him have talked about.
Final statement.
Yes.
Done.
Yes.
Now this leads us to what everybody else in the world is thinking, like, okay, something smells fishy here.
Yeah, something's not right.
Don't smell fishy.
Doesn't smell. I'm pretty sure
it is
rotten already. Right. but the Westfall name is pretty heavy in that area. The family is said to own over 700 acres of land.
Right. And
that is a lot of...
And I want to say Jefferson County is only like 700 square miles or something like that. I don't remember exactly. I'd have to look it up.
Hell, I would know.
Yeah. But that's a lot of property.
That's a lot of property. Right. And they own tractors. They own a plane. They own... I mean, they're a well-known name. They have money. They're known for money. They got it. But the brother was also a state highway patrol. I feel like this has some...
So he knows how to get away with it.
Yeah. He has...
I don't know if y'all heard me. He knows how to get away with it.
I agree. And it's said that the mother pretty much seems to rule the roost. She's the one that speaks, and what she says goes.
My papers. Too.
Your papers are loud.
I know, I wanted to see
the Westfalls, they seem to ring kind of, that name rings in the town. And it seems to leave a bad taste with some people who they seem to steer clear when it comes to conversating about them, almost as if they're afraid of them. Her mother states that she fully believes somebody knows something.
Absolutely.
But they're just too scared to say something because of the Westfall family. A search warrant was conducted. But due to the control of Brian's lawyer, it was a controlled search. There's them air quotes again. Meaning they could only search what Brian allowed them to.
What is the point of that search?
Okay, so here, let me tell you. Okay. Let me get on my soapbox. Okay, so since they had no proof that she actually left the Civic Center, okay?
Okay.
They cannot get a search warrant to search his property.
His property, okay, because she
Fuck
was
you.
Never... She
Sorry,
was,
She Mom
was,
and Dad.
She was never placed at his property.
Right.
That's
she
why
was.
They
yes. There's no proof that she left the Civic Center property.
Right.
I think it's kind of silly to do a controlled search. I mean,
right.
You
so
can
here,
go here.
You
can
go,
go here,
but don't go over there where that body's laying. I mean, you
yeah.
know.
I
what the fuck?
When it said control search, I said, "What sense does this make?"
None.
So. And we have a warrant to search his property because obviously you're a person of interest.
Was he considered a person of interest?
I don't know. Point of it is if I have a warrant to search your property, why the hell am I here if I don't think something about you?
Yeah. Right.
Clearly, I think you're possibly guilty. So what in the world allows a controlled search? You come to my house and control search, I'm not going to show you where the hell I put the body.
Right.
No.
I'm going to have you check over there where
right,
I buried the dog.
Mine,
last
I mean... Yeah, here, let's go. I'll take you out back. I'll show you where the body is.
Right.
I mean, come on.
So
come
that
on,
really,
Jefferson
that
County.
That
real.
Whole situation bothered me.
Yeah.
And it really, really ticked me off with the county and the system. Why the hell
Why
are we doing
that?
A controlled search? Why have we never done another search? Okay, soapbox. I'm telling you guys, this case really gets us worked up. So I'm sorry we get off we get off track a little bit here.
But tell me these aren't questions y'all are asking.
Right.
I mean, it's questions
no,
that
I mean,
it just...
I mean, you know...
It's real shit.
Why don't we all just... Never mind, you know how I am. We just go search it ourselves, fucking
I know, right?
I mean, we could tie his mom up and throw her in the garage.
Hey! God, Heather, stop it. The
lawyer
is Kevin Roberts. He said to be a longtime family friend of the Westfalls.
And he's a real prominent lawyer in Jefferson County too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and he's been on retainer for them for quite some time.
The whole time. To this day.
Yeah. Well, and before her. Before all this.
They just keep a retainer. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
So what does that mean?
That's a family with money.
What is it?
Who, just in case anything happens, we got a lawyer.
Right.
My family had money too, but we didn't have a lawyer.
So in an interview on Crime Watch, Brian's mom was asked, why is Brian hiding behind a lawyer? And her reply was, we've had many situations that we're familiar with where people get into problems without representation.
And that's where they should have said, so what problem has Brian got himself
exactly.
into?
Exactly.
Right. And speaking to Amanda's sister, Carrie, she states that Brian, and she was very adamant on this, she feels Brian hides behind his mama's skirt.
Oh, yeah.
Mama says everything. Mama rules what is said, what isn't said. And that has been addressed multiple times. I've heard it multiple times.
Yep.
And she multiple. Sounded like she was very sincere on that.
Yeah.
No one has spoken out other than the lawyer and his mother.
No one.
Tell me they're not hiding something.
Mama.
They're afraid that boy is going to get talking and mess something up.
Yeah. So what angers me the most, though, is the only search that has ever been done on the Westfall property is the controlled search. All the details leading up to this, the multiple stories Brian has told, they scream loud and clear, why the hell are we not searching more? When I asked Bertha why she felt no further searches have been done, she says that she truly feels that this case was not taken seriously when it mattered the most.
Right.
And that it was improperly handled investigation-wise, and no one wants to kind of take accountability for that. Which, I mean, naturally, they then have to admit that they fudged it up in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to.
Can I say the phrase that the mama said?
I don't know what phrase you're talking about.
The phrase that I had you ask Carrie about.
Which one?
Oh, I mean, it's been said otherwise.
Okay.
So
his mama.
Brian's
said,
mom.
Brian's mom. Mommy. Said, no bastard child is going to inherit my money.
Yes.
Oh, my.
That is a well-known phrase that she said.
Oh, my God.
So.
Legit. Has been said.
Oh, you are.
So, I mean,
so how to police does this not scream motive? It doesn't scream guilty. It doesn't scream like how? How do you not?
First of all, how do you not call a child a bastard?
Right.
Second of all, I don't even know.
I agree, though. I feel like police didn't take this very seriously.
No, they didn't take anything seriously.
I feel like if they had jumped on it from the get-go, the facts would have been there.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been obvious. The trails, the timelines, the writing is on the fucking wall.
You're talking 48 hours. You have 700 acres.
Mm-hmm.
You have 48 hours. Apparently, your family is close-knit because Mama won't let... You're telling me nothing.
You can't
nothing
even. You can't even search 700 some odd acres in 48 hours.
No, and that is something Bertha said. She said
to do that.
She said that they state that they searched the whole property. There's no way.
There's no damn way. I don't even think you could walk for 700 acres in 48 hours. I know I couldn't.
So
that's too much walking.
Over the years, the families reached out to any and all resources. Even writing letters to the police department, governors. They've even reached out to Dr. Phil. And they did get a response from the show, and it was declined because the story was not compelling enough.
Well, it's not pretty damn compelling to me.
Not compelling enough.
Okay.
But meet you outside is.
Yeah. Oh, how about that?
How about that? You got me mouth. No, whatever.
Oh, my Lord. So,
and I liked him until then.
So now we, you know, time is passing. We're now hitting 2019. A group called Q, which stands for Community United Effort, is a tax-exempt nonprofit organization founded in Wilmington, North Carolina, basically serving missing person cases nationwide since 1994.
Out there doing God's work.
Yes, right. Absolutely. Because somebody's got to do it, and obviously our system is failing tremendously.
Jefferson County for sure is.
All around.
Yeah. Right.
But they came together. They conducted a search at the Civic Center, obviously because they can't search Brian's property, which is where they really should have been. But anyway, I digress. Amanda was – that's where she was last seen. They came in full force. Dogs canvassed the area. They had volunteers from all over.
Right, volunteers from all over the United States. They had retired firefighters, retired policemen, current
shout out
policemen.
To Ferguson.
Right, Ferguson! Woo! Yes. Okay, so retired police department, retired police, firefighters.
FBI, helicopters.
Right, current.
So now, Bertha states that the local police were there, but there was no efforts from them to help.
Right.
They were literally there just in case something was found. And so this was done by Q. It was sponsored by them. They did all the work. They brought all the resources.
Police had nothing to do
nothing.
With it.
No, they were just there.
Nothing.
And okay. Supposedly Q had asked multiple times to do it. The investigators had denied them. Now, this was an interview that I seen Bertha do. Investigators had denied it until Channel 2 started doing their podcast.
Mm.
And then once Channel 2 started doing their podcast,
mm-hmm.
Q questioned the investigators again. And then they allowed it. What day was that? Like March 19th of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so here
we're
talking. I
just wish all of that effort could have been put
14
to
years.
West
right.
Falls property.
Right.
Exactly. So naturally, like we said, the families reached out to as many resources as they can this, you know, through all the years. They had a billboard put
mm-hmm.
up in Festus for, you know, missing person. It basically was just like the missing person flyer for Amanda that was out.
Right, the FBI one?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and Bertha states that it has since been taken down since the pandemic. But she says what upsets her the most is they weren't informed that it was being taken down, and she was not able to get in contact with the billboard company since. She states all she wants is the vinyl poster that she paid for of her daughter. She said, if they don't want to put it up, fine. If they don't want to put it back up, like, I paid for that vinyl for my daughter. She could take it to another resource.
Right.
And I can only imagine for her that feels like they are kind of, you know,
moving on,
like, yeah. Not, and that's got to be hard.
It's very disheartening for her, and, you know, and she was like, I just want the vinyl back.
Yeah.
Like, whether she puts it up somewhere else or she leaves it as a memorial, like, whatever she wants to do with it, like, that was for her daughter.
Right.
And, period. At least have the decency as the company to call me.
And say, hey, we're going to take it down.
Mm-hmm.
What do you want it?
So the family's been reaching to the justice system for answers, and it's been failing them. Their loved one has been missing, and the most they can ever get from them is they can't discuss it because it's an active investigation.
Mm.
Do
something and it will no longer be active. It'll be a foul.
Just talk to her. Don't be ignorant to her. Oh, it's an active investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, ease this poor woman's mind.
Right.
Heart. I mean, you know, you could just...
We're coming up on 16 years.
Right.
Yeah.
You see them in the video and you can just see how heartbroken her and Hugh are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't be douches about it, you know, just...
Yeah. So, but something I thought was very interesting was her mother had shared with us that an investigator with Channel 2 News named John Albell became rather close, and he seemed really interested in doing the footwork, something that police weren't doing.
Right.
Well,
so,
and what a platform.
Exactly.
I mean,
right.
And he was providing them with answers to that law enforcement wouldn't, that they couldn't. It was John who discovered the night of Amanda's disappearance. Stephanie, it's not said if it was Brian and Stephanie, but Stephanie for sure had went to Target and purchased large totes the night of her disappearance. To the point to where...
How is that not... I don't know if motive is the right word, but how... Okay, missing woman, last seen with your boyfriend. You're buying totes. How do... Them two things combined, how does that not...
So this reporter, he's the one that found this information. He went as far as the links of getting receipts from Target to obtain, you know, the information showing that these totes were bought the night Amanda went missing.
And supposedly they were for horse tack.
Yeah. Well, you know, of course they're for something else. Yeah. When I asked her, though, what did the police say or what did they do when this was presented to them, she again said, they tell us nothing. They never have. Mm. They always say it's an active case. But this is where it got me, was not long after that, the reporter John had come to visit them and, you know, apologized to them that he was so sorry, but he was being taken off the, I don't know if it would be a case for him, but for the
investigation
for Fox 2. He was being taken off of it. They were no longer going to cover the story. AKA, wow. He got too close.
Exactly.
So you do the math from there. You all do the math from there, but I feel like that says enough. So again, here we are 16 years later, still no answers, still no progress. Mm. Brian and Stephanie still together. Neither have spoken out. Nobody has said anything. Carrie went on to say that she misses her sister extremely. There's not a day goes by that she does not think about her or even just talk out loud to her. Mm. She says she still keeps a sign in her front yard, and it reads, you know, it's just the Justice for Amanda and Baby Hayden. She says she still leaves that in her sign in her yard every day. Bertha, her mother, went on to say that she and her husband hope to see justice for their daughter and their grandson before they leave this earth. although she feels this may take many more years for the truth to fully come out, she knows in her heart the person responsible for this will pay for it when the Lord makes his decision.
Mm, at least that gives her a little solace.
Mm-hmm. She says they miss Amanda tremendously and they love her with all of their heart. They'll forever keep her name alive and they will continue to seek justice. She did, however, go on to say, and this is what pulled at my heartstrings. To hear it physically come out of her mouth. Not on TV,
but still.
To physically speak to this woman and hear her say, the feeling of the unknown is worse than death itself, is what she carries with her.
Mm.
She does not know, you know, it's the feeling of unknown.
Right.
Whether she feels like she knows what may have happened, the truth is she don't know.
Yeah.
And they have no closure.
Just, right.
Yeah.
I mean, even just imagine Hannah, what now she's 20.
21.
Yeah.
21. And the interview that I watched, and Katie Hormick, I believe is her name, asked her, you know, where do you believe, you know, what do you think happened to your mom? Or something along those lines and everything. And, I mean, Hannah said, you know, I think she's up in heaven. And the way this little girl looked up, it was like, you know,
you've seen her, like, knowing her mom.
Right. Her mom is up there. Baby Hayden is up there. They are both up there with, you know, with a higher power, you know, with God. And, you know, just thinking how strong this little lady is amazing. I mean, absolutely amazing. She's, you know, she was in dance and now she's in college to be a pediatric nurse.
Oh, that's amazing.
Back when this had happened, there was an author named A.B. Parker who had reached out to the family about writing a book. It's called Hope for Hannah. And obviously in the beginning of all of this is kind of when this came about. More so, it's a story of just like dealing with loss for children, and the author had provided some of the proceeds to the family for her book.
That's amazing.
I asked Bertha about vigils, and she had stated that they used to hold vigils on Amanda's anniversary, but as Hannah got older, they seemed to be very tough for her. She also
assumed it was tough for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
it's just like ripping.
But you know, and that's the thing is like, you know, as a child, it's a little different. But as she gets older and she's realizing why this is happening more and more, that you know, there's no answers and everything. It just seemed to have gotten really tough for her. And she, you know, she states it takes a toll on everyone.
Oh
yeah.
It.
I mean.
the entire family.
Right.
Like you said, it's got to be their health. That wound. Oh, mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And she, I mean, she stated too that, you know, year after year, you and your family's hearts are so invested, but over time, other people stop coming.
Right.
And you feel very defeated.
Life goes on.
Yeah. Right. You feel very defeated, but life doesn't go on for them.
No.
They're still feeling this pain. They dwindle down on the vigils.
To us, August 14th is just any other day. To them, August 14th
is the day their life changed forever.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, their life not ended, but I mean.
Yeah. Change for, yeah.
It changed.
Mm-hmm. Again, she had stated that the hardest part for her is the unknown. She says the unknown is worse than death. She prays that her daughter is at peace and that even if she is no longer alive and living, that they hope, you know,
to even find,
they would love to just find her.
Yeah.
For closure. To finally have some closure. Even if that's the unfortunate of what it is, at least bring her home.
Right. Yeah.
Bring her home. Give the family closure. Give her daughter closure.
And I understand that. You know, a lot of people be like, oh, you wouldn't want, you know, to find it. At least then you know.
Well,
you have your baby home.
It's been this long.
Yeah.
Right? It's been this long of the unknown that... At this point, you've went through every scenario.
You've tortured yourself.
Right. You know, is she locked in a room somewhere?
Everything.
You know, is she in the woods? You know, I mean.
Absolutely.
Everything.
It's torture.
Anything.
Oh, it's
just
torture.
Me, you know, sitting last night and thinking, you know, what could, you know. Mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine.
My heart goes
out to this family.
Absolutely. Another thing we asked about was the resources. Over the years, there's been different ones. Her mother now states, though, there are two active resources that can be found on Facebook. One is, and we will put all of this on our notes for this episode. One is Help Find Amanda Jones, and the other one is Find Amanda Jones. Both of these can be found on Facebook. We will put them both in our bio for this episode so everybody can reach out to them. And, of course, if anyone has any information about this case, any missing case, any case, but this one particular, reach out to the Jefferson County Sheriff's Department, 636-797-5000. Again, that'll be in our notes. And also, you can reach out to the FBI in STL, in St. Louis, 314-589-2500. Or online at tips.fbi.com.
And FBI has a reward of up to $20,000 for
any viable information.
Yeah.
Right, you know, or they can help them find her or something along those lines.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, someone has got to know, and I honestly think once Mama passes, it's going to come out. She can't keep it quiet forever. She's going to pass sooner or later.
Yeah, I agree.
It's going to come out what happens.
I agree. She definitely is pulling the strings on the secret.
Right.
And I think that if things die down, she's going to not be able to control it.
Right.
And I think if the pressure is put on him, and he's not got her to pull the reins back
and run and hide behind her skirt.
I think he'll cave. Right.
Someone's going to cave.
Someone is.
I mean, she's got something over someone that knows something. Now, it could be 30, 40, 50 years down the road, but...
I pray it's not for this family.
I mean, I do too, but I hope, it's solved no matter how long it takes.
Right, regardless,
know?
I hope she... Right. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
and I hope that
let's bring him home.
Exactly. With many others. So, you guys, this one, like we said, was really tough for us. Just because it was brought to us, and being able to communicate with the family and get in touch with them and just hear their story firsthand versus watching it on a TV or another podcast, it was really surreal. It really hit home. And the amount of families that are currently going through this, please reach out. Let us just be a voice. Let us get their story out. We're not detectives, but their story deserves to be heard. Their name right. deserves to be said. And you never know what ears it's going to fall on.
Absolutely.
I mean, every podcast has different listeners. We are gradually, woohoo, getting out there, getting our name out there. I have people from other states reaching out to us. So we are getting around, and it doesn't matter
what state it's
in. What state it is or whatever. I mean, let's get this ball rolling. And even if we don't cover it or somebody else wants to cover it, let's get their names out there and let's say something. Hey, say something.
Say something.
That came out so naturally. So I'm going to leave that with that. And I'm going to pass it on to Heather for our comfy fact that she is just dying to not say what she wants to say.
I'm going to say it. Brian Westfall did it. No, but anyway, here is my real comfy fact. So in 1980, less than 150,000 people were reported missing per year. That number has climbed to 900,000 people missing per year.
That is a lot.
Okay, give me that number one more time.
In 1980, less than 150,000 people were reported missing per year. That number has since climbed to 900,000 people per year.
Ooh, child. That's insane.
That is. Per year?
That's insane.
Per year. In the majority of jurisdictions around the world, missing persons are a low priority for police.
Bullshit.
Homicides, rapes, robberies, assaults, and, get this, traffic tickets and crime prevention take priority.
That's
bullshit.
That's bullshit. It's absolute bullshit.
Fuck them traffic tickets. Let's find our people and bring them home.
Exactly. Yeah. Bring them home. We could go on a million rants about that, and I'm sure one day we will get back on the soapbox. but until then,
I'm always on one.
Check us out on Facebook, Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes on Loco. You can also check us out at www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. Give us cases, give us a shout out, give us a like, give us a follow. You guys are why we're here. So let's do the damn thing.
And it's working. We're getting stuff to start rolling in from people posting and reaching out. So keep it coming.
Yes. And again, thank you so much to the family just for their continued support for their daughter and getting her name and her voice out there. And excuse me. And yeah, like we said, you know, you guys, it's important. So we just thank them for being a part of this and giving us this opportunity. And also to, you know, Samantha Hicks for reaching out to us.
There you
and
go, girl.
Giving us
She's
this
our
case.
New best friend.
I know. I'm like, ooh, I got a new friend.
That's what we refer to her as. Nikki's new best friend.
I'm like, ooh, my friend message, guys. So people like y'all, we appreciate. So absolutely. Keep it coming. Until then.
What is it? MVP?
That's what I said. MVP. I called her the MVP for
right.
sure.
We need to send her a shirt.
Yes. So until then, guys, next time, catch us 2 weeks from now. I always want to say weekly. We're 2 weeks from now. So until then, stay comfy.
Don't get murdered.